1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Heavenly Father, help us, dear Lord, to understand the preciousness of the book that we carry with us, dear God, the Holy Bible. I pray, Lord, that as we begin to study it from this point on after this lesson tonight, that we'll understand a little bit more about what is there, how we can access it, how we can learn it. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, enabling us to have a copy of the Bible, and then with your help, in the help of your Spirit, the ability to understand those deep things of the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. First five verses, real quick in review, we talk about the simplicity of the basics. And Paul refers back to when he first came to the city of Corinth. And of course, he's dealing with lost people. And then he's dealing with new converts, babes in Christ. And his approach, very much different back then. What he concentrated on, verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ in him crucified. And how that had to be the focus. That needed to be the focus. It's the right way, folks. It's what's needed. You know what? Point people to Jesus. Point them to Christ. Teach them the principles of Christ. And then begin to teach them about the crucifixion and how that applies to our life. Because when somebody gets saved, of course, they are a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. They're a babe when it comes to spiritual growth and spiritual things. And they need to be taught and taught how to then grow from being a baby Christian to being a spiritual Christian. And so that was fine, and that's what he did, and it was good. But now he's writing back, and they've been saved for some time. And yet, they haven't advanced to the point where he can begin to teach them some of the deeper things of the Lord. Let's go over to chapter 3, verse 1, just and remind ourselves that that's one of the issues, that's one of the problems he's dealing with. Chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. And so his problem was, hey, you know, I gave you these basic things. We started with the gospel. God did the work of grace in your heart. You're saved. We started with the basic principles of Christ, and we gave you a good foundation. And now all this time later, we come back, and you haven't advanced past that. So many more things that the Bible offers us other than just milk, folks. You know, the Bible refers to itself as milk, but it also refers to itself as bread, and also refers to itself as meat. And, you know, you have to grow a little bit before you get the bread. Then you have to grow a little bit more before you get the meat. And here they were still on the bottle spiritually, And so Paul was trying to correct that. Now the problem is okay, it's understandable if you're brand new saved to be at that level, but it's not, you know, there's a difference between being a babe in Christ and being a carnal Christian. A babe, you didn't have a choice in. But after a while, carnality becomes a choice because he began to teach them of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why is that so important? Because as we showed the order, how God made us, you know, we're body, soul, and spirit. That newborn spirit, remember the Holy Spirit came in, rebirthed that spirit. And so now they are body, soul, reborn spirit, and they have the presence of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit is to try to get this whole deck reshuffled now. Why did he concentrate on teaching them, determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified? Because first of all, this flesh is going to be the thing that causes us the most problem, you know. It's not your neighbor. It's not your next door neighbor. It's not your husband. It's not your kids. It's not your parents. It's going to give you the person that's going to hold you back spiritually the most is going to be yourself. And so we got to deal with this. And we talk about crucifying the flesh. Remember, we take the flesh, we move it clear to the back of the line. This idea of being spirit-filled and spirit-led, the Holy Spirit comes to the front of the line. So now the Holy Spirit's here, and then the reborn spirit, which he can work through. Then we've got the soul of man, which again is the mind and the heart and the will. And then this body that we try to keep crucified. Paul said, I have to die daily. He said, this thing, the problem with it is every time I think I got it crucified, I got to wake up and do another day. And it wants to wake up too. So I've got to go through this process constantly. And really the difference, folks, between, you know, a carnal Christian, don't recoil over that. Let's just define it and then let's be honest. Let the Spirit examine each of us. A carnal Christian's going to heaven like a spiritual Christian's going to heaven. They're reborn. But really, the only difference is just in who's leading in your person, your newborn person. Who's in the lead? If the flesh is leading, and the flesh is the one that the soul's taking its cues from, remember, mind, heart, will. You know, the Bible talks about being carnally minded and spiritually minded. Well, what's the difference? What changes? How do you go from being carnally minded, spiritually minded? Well, a person that's carnally minded, the flesh is here, the mind is right behind it. Then the mind affects the emotions, so now you've got carnal emotions. You know, you react emotionally like a carnal Christian would react. And then your will, you're making decisions that a carnal Christian would make. And that's why we have a mess in this church. Because the people are being led by the flesh instead of being led by the Spirit of God. And so that causes chaos. Almost every area of the church is affected because of their carnality. Now remember, when somebody first gets saved, that's pretty much the pattern. Just because they have a reborn spirit and Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean automatically they're spiritual. And so we start teaching them, first of all, about Jesus Christ and the principles of Christ, but especially the emphasis on the crucifixion of Christ, because we have to crucify this flesh, get it moved back where it should be, get the Holy Spirit surrendered to the leading of the Spirit of God, let him be in charge, get the Spirit up here. Now all of a sudden you got Holy Spirit that's influencing our reborn spirit, and right behind it is this mind. Folks, listen to me. A carnal Christian thinks completely different than a spiritual Christian thinks. A carnal Christian feels completely different about things than a spiritual Christian feels. The decision-making process of a carnal Christian and a spiritual Christian is different. And by the way, I'm not talking about, hey, let's take all the people over here that's spiritual, all the people over here that's carnal. You know what? You can be spiritual one week and carnal the next week, and you're talking about the same person. It's just, what are we keeping in order? What are we surrendering to? Watch this. What are we feeding? Okay. How do you get? He said, I die daily. How do you get this old flesh to die daily? You stop consuming things that feed the flesh. You know what? What you listen to is important. What you're looking on your computer is important. The shows that you watch is important. You know, why do we harp about these things? Because we're trying to starve this guy here. I want him to be weak, and I want to be spiritually strong. And so many Christians are strong in the flesh because that's what they feed all of the time. They're weak in the spirit because they, you know, the spirit is built from, if you do a study on the spirit, I'll give you this because it's kind of a shortcut, but I promise you, you study from Genesis to Revelation on this matter of spirit and becoming spiritual, and it boils down to your relationship with the book, relationship to in your prayer. So you get strengthened through consuming the word of God. You get strengthened spiritually by spending time in the presence of God. And music has a big effect on whether or not you are spiritual and or fleshly. That's why it says, you know, you minister to yourself in psalms, hymns, and what kind of songs? Not fleshly songs. Spiritual songs. Why? Something that feeds this spirit and gets it strong. So, you know, you've got to decide. By the way, I can't choose for you. You know, I'm sorry, you can't choose for me. You're not coming home with me and walking around all week long and saying, no, turn that off. No, listen to this instead. You know what? I'm not going home with you. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's going home with all of us if we're saved. And his desire is to get you in the proper order. Now, why is that important? Because, now, we're just going to talk, it's going to show up in every problem that carnality produced. I'll probably go back and review this 50 times in this study, because almost every issue that we face comes back to things being out of order in us. I said last week, I said, folks, you know what my number one lifelong, never-ending project is? Keeping Jerry Ross spiritual. Now, obviously, I can't do it by myself. But going to the Lord and consciously making an effort consciously through the scriptures and what it teaches us about being spiritual to see into it that I am surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God and that my spiritual life is being well fed, well exercised, and strengthened, and that the Holy Spirit, through the strengthening of my spirit, is allowing me to think spiritually and to feel appropriately, and to act properly, and then I've got this eternal battle with this stupid thing called the flesh that I'm never going to get rid of till one of these days that rapture either happens or I die, and then we get to drop this thing, and man alive, I think the first few seconds in heaven, part of the joy may just be this eternal battle's over. See what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 7. I mean, he said, man, I have days where the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I know I shouldn't do. What is he talking about? He's talking about the same thing that you fight. Hey, isn't it kind of nice the Apostle Paul was that transparent and that honest with us? Okay, I mean, you know, it's a battle. It is. And you know, that old flesh is strong. If you feed it, it's going to be running the show. If you starve it, crucify it, and surrender to the Spirit of God. I think that surrendering to the Spirit of God ought to be a daily decision. I mean, why do we say start your morning with the Word of God? We're building and feeding that Spirit. Why go before God? Why is it okay to talk to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? I don't know who came up with this doctrine that you can't speak to the Holy Spirit of God, or you can't pray or communicate. Well, that's craziness. Holy Spirit's as much God as God the Son or God the Father. It's not it's a him, and he lives inside of me. Why would I spend my whole life ignoring him and acting like he's not there? I need his help. I needed it today. I'm going to need it tomorrow. If I got a chance of keeping this thing right, it's going to be because of him working in me and through me, giving me the power to keep things in the proper order. So one of the problems that we dealt with in 1 Corinthians is talking, again referring back to the Word of God. Because this is so neat. I love this study, and I want to now focus back on verse 6 on down. He said, hey, verse 2, it was fine. When I came the first time, got it. I'm dealing with lost people. I'm dealing with baby Christians. You know what? I didn't come in excellency of speech, verse 1. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, verse 3. My speech and my preaching, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, demonstration of spirit and power. I want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then he says this one word in verse number 6, howbeit. It's kind of like, you know what, folks, come on. That was fine. That was good. That's where we needed to start. Howbeit. Notice what he says here. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. And what he's saying is this. Hey, I go back to some of my other churches that the Lord's allowed me to win people to Christ and start. And they started where you started. But you know what? Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless there. It means complete or mature. But you know what? They've continued the growth process. When I go back to some of these churches, man, I can grill meat. We can bake bread. We can get into some of the deep things and the mysteries of God. We can go into a whole, listen, folks, this book is deep. This book contains unbelievable depths of the wisdom of God. I mean, we're just skipping along the surface. He said, there's so many things in here. But notice what he said. But say, why couldn't they learn it? Because, well, I'll let the Bible teach. Let's teach it on down, okay? Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom with God ordained before the world unto our glory. So inside this book, and this entire chapter is talking about the Word of God. Inside of this book, folks, below the surface of the basics are the mysteries of God, these wonderful hidden nuggets of truth that if we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit, by the way, who's the one that delivered this book? He's the one that came down, picked up holy men of old and moved them to write the very words of God, okay? So he's the author. He's the one that came down and gave it to the men to write, okay? So now he lives in you. So if you open the book now, you have, as a Christian, available to you the person that was involved in producing this book, writing this book, delivering this book, that can sit there and look over your shoulder and say, let me tell you what that means. By the way, if he's stuck all the way back here and he's grieved and quenched because the flesh is running everything, then he's not a part of the process. Well, preacher, I tried reading my Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. Listen to me. It's because you're either a baby or you're carnal. If I'm going to help you, okay? All right? And someone's got to say that from time to time. It's okay, all right? Because if you've got him right here at the front and you've surrendered to him, I'm not saying that you'll always understand everything. But if you'll, before you read the Bible, say, Dear Holy Spirit, please help me to crucify the flesh. I don't want the flesh to win. I'm not going to feed the flesh today. I want you in charge. I don't want to be carnal. I want to be spiritual. I want to learn the deeper things of God. Speak to me. Teach me as I read this thing. You know what? You don't think the Holy Spirit of God doesn't say, yes, let's get into it. And he'll begin to open things up to you, you know. And again, it doesn't mean that every single truth is illuminated, but the more you read, the more you study, we're going to talk about that, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. He begins to open this up and open that up, and all of a sudden you see something for the first time. I tell folks this, and I think I've said it from the pulpit before, but when you really get into studying the Bible, the depths of the Word of God they're unsearchable. But it's sure fun searching for the unsearchable. And I'll say, you know what? Sometimes I'll just be reading along and studying a passage, and it's like, wow, that interests me. So I want to stop, and I want to go compare spiritual things to spiritual things. I want to see what else the Bible where else in the Bible it speaks to that subject. So I see one door, and I think to myself, what's behind that door? I want to understand that little phrase. I want to understand this verse. And so I'll go get all of the other truths, and with the Holy Spirit's help, all of a sudden that door swings open. And it's so neat because all of a sudden I've walked into a room that I've never been in before when it comes to the great riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But the problem is when you walk in that door, you walk in the room and there's 10 more doors. And you're like, well, I want to know what's behind every one. Well, let me start with this one. And you go over here because this truth all of a sudden opens up another truth or an introduction to another truth. Well, let me go gather what the Bible says about that because, you know, if as you study the Bible and all that it says about a subject, it's like it gives you the combination that then you have all the numbers to unlock the lock. And I want to find out. We're in one room, okay? We got in the door. We got 10 doors. I'm going over to this one. And finally, I studied this one principle here because I want to find out what's behind that door. And then I'm going to go to the second. And I'm going to go to all 10 of them. And I open that door. And I look in a room and there's 10 more doors. And then now I'm like, okay, I want to know what's there, but I haven't finished. And you know what? That's what we do our whole lives, studying the Bible. And you'll never get to every door, and you'll never find out what's behind all of it, because the wisdom of God is unsearchable. But that's the process. And can I say it? That's fun. It is. It's fun. And just to find out, and let the Lord reveal these things to us, all right? Now, he said, and here's, say, preacher, why were they stunted in their growth? Why didn't they continue on? We already dealt with this. So I want to go back and spend a lot of time. But remember chapter 1, we got down to verse 18. We went down through 25, and there was this great battle between the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And these Christians were hungry for wisdom. They were just chasing the wrong wisdom. Now, let me just help you in an information generation. Okay? You can spend hours and hours and hours and hours, endless hours now, with all of the that's available to us through technology. You can sit in front of your computer and learn all day long the wisdom of men. And boy, I didn't know that. And I don't know that. And we're learning all this stuff. And it wasn't that they weren't learning things. They were just consuming the wisdom of men instead of the wisdom of God. That was their focus. But the wisdom of man is not only not the wisdom of God, most of the time it's absolutely opposed to the wisdom of God. So they hungered after knowledge, but that knowledge, we're going to find out later off, just puffed them up. They were well studied, but they were studying the wrong stuff. They were more interested in finding, and we are, come on. It's like everybody is, we spend our time just reading and reading and learning and reading and following and listening and chasing and looking. And at the end of the day, we know all of this new stuff that does not benefit us one bit spiritually or advance the kingdom of God one bit. But boy, the devil's kept us busy, and we really feel smarter because of all the stuff we learned. But it's not, he said, listen, forget about the wisdom of men. And focus in on learning the wisdom of God, okay? And so that's what he says here in verse 6 and verse 7. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. And listen, I don't want to sound like I don't want to go too far on this, but too many places you're showing up to Sunday school and churches, and you know what? You go to every class, and they're going through some book somebody wrote. Okay, we're doing an 8-week series on such and such book that just came out, and I got a book for you. Used to be what, you know, this used to be the only book. When we went to Sunday school, there was one textbook. Okay, now we're watching Andy Griffith in Sunday school. And we've lost our minds. Okay? We're more interested in what man has to say about God than what God has to say about man. Let me say it again. We're more interested in what men have to say about God than what God has to say about men. Why don't we just focus on this? You stay right on this. You're not going to get off in some weird group. You're not going to all of a sudden have your doctrine corrupted. This is it. This is what we study. Okay, I mean, you know what? I don't think I've ever done it. I don't think I ever will. I'm not going to walk in here and say, okay, young adults, I want to pass you out a book for the next 8 weeks. We're going to go chapter through. But how many times your preacher got, okay, open this. We're going to go verse by verse, phrase for phrase through this book. Just stick with the Bible. Stick with the Bible, okay? And I think that they were listening to and chasing a lot of people's opinions, but had not grown spiritually through that. And because of that, they were ignoring the depths that was available to them. So he said, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, what is it? You're going to see this Bible word pop up several times as you study the scriptures and read the scriptures. And the word mystery literally means that it's a secret that's in the heart of God that he wants to reveal to men who show themselves worthy. Let me say it again. It's secrets that dwell in the heart of God that he wants to reveal to men who are willing to show themselves worthy. And the word of God, folks, you know, God looks down and he sees how serious we are about the Bible. If we got a very casual attitude about the Bible, he's going to have a very casual attitude in opening it up to us. Now, I take you from time to time back to Proverbs 2, and I didn't have this in my notes, but and I'll just read it, but flip back there, okay? Proverbs chapter 2. And if you'll look at verse number 1, let's just read down the first, 7 or 8 verses. And to me, this I hope excites you. This is the attitude God wants to find. Somebody that's hungry to know the things of God. Somebody that's willing to spend more than 2 or 3 minutes in the Word of God. Somebody that's willing to get in and study to show thyself approved unto God. But notice what it says in Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, what's the first word in verse 5? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth knowledge, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And folks, you know what? I'm sorry, but Jesus told his disciples, don't you throw pearls in front of swine. And the things of God are very precious. And God just doesn't hand them out, you know, like Sister Tina hands out candy after services. He's going to reward somebody who shows a seriousness about the things of God. He's going to show somebody that's willing to take this old flesh and say, hey, you know what? If I have to fast a week in my flesh so that I can understand that book, Lord, then let me fast today and study. Whatever I've got to do to weaken this that stands in the way, come on, read the book of Galatians. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. Folks, it's this eternal battle. And that's why, you know what, we have to keep our churches spiritual. Okay, we get into these flesh-run churches and all you're going to do is produce carnality. You've got to let the Holy Spirit ought to be run. This thing that we produced up here when we talked about the Spirit, you know what, you could take that same thing and describe the church here. All right, we've got, you know what, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, everybody in here needs to help me keep this thing shuffled right as our church body. Okay, because you get the flesh up here and all of a sudden everybody's thinking carnally and feeling carnally and doing a bunch of dumb carnal things, and our spirit, reborn spirit, is the weakest part of us because we never feed it. Now we'll run and do all we're good into entertainment. I mean, you know, we got that part down. But what happened to Wednesday night Bible study? What happened to Sunday school? What happened to a room you walk into and they're not talking about the latest hot shot celebrity evangelical and the book he wrote or the movie he what? I'm telling you, that's the Church of Corinth. All right, let's stick with the Bible. Let's let our focus be on the Bible. Now, what's available to us if we choose to do this, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It goes on, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, from which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now here's what's so neat about it. There's certain things that up to this point in time, before Christ came, before he came to earth, Old Testament times, that Old Testament had a bunch of hidden truths and mysteries that remained a mystery, and it gives the reason why. Until Christ came, until the Gospels were written, until the New Testament was finished, and we had all the Word of God, and this Gospels, New Testament, shines light back on Old Testament, and all of a sudden, because you have that now, you can see things that were there. And you say, how did they not know Jesus was the Messiah? They had all of these prophecies. How did they know he wasn't going to die? I could take you back to the Gospels and again, you know what? You know what? The Jews were always bringing up to Jesus, asking questions about the kingdom of God. They're always bringing that up to him. And you know what? Why they were bringing it? Because, hey, those that believed he was Messiah, even his own disciples spent 3 years, were shocked when he died. They thought he was going to set up the kingdom. You see, well, they didn't see, watch this, this is interesting. They didn't see that coming. A couple times in private, he even told them plain what was going to happen. It was like they still didn't get it. But you know why? Why did God have to keep that salvation plan a mystery? I think there were Old Testament prophets that spent time in the presence of God that probably the light came on and they understood something. I don't think any of them understood all of it. Listen, this is what I want to encourage you with. You have something that Moses didn't have, that Elijah didn't have, that Jeremiah didn't have. We have an advantage that they never had. We have the advantage of the complete Word of God. They didn't have that. And not one Old Testament saint had the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? So they wish they'd have known. Well, why did God keep it a mystery? Notice what it said here, which none of the princes of this world knew. And you can look at that word princes, and it means either earthly magistrates, or it can refer to the spiritual realm, spiritual powers. And I can take you several places in the New Testament where it directly refers to spiritual magistrates or spiritual powers. The princes of this world. You know what the Bible says? Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you think if the devil knew that the crucifixion was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and would be the event that would pay for the sins of mankind, do you think he would have moved in the hearts of the Pharisees and the scribes to arrest Jesus? You think he would have done that? You see, the reason God had to package the Bible the way he did and even keep Old Testament saints in a sense in the dark on some things is because they're not the only ones that were reading what God wrote. All right? And you know what? These things were a mystery. Now, by the way, we live in now the New Testament time where all of these mysteries, if we'll study, the Bible's complete, the Holy Spirit's in us, there's no mysteries left. We can learn the mysteries of God and have an understanding that the Old Testament saints, I think Jeremiah is looking down over the ramparts. I think Elisha and Elijah may be beside him, and Ezekiel. And they're like, look what they got. They're indwelt with the Spirit of God. Look at the information we never had. Look what's in that book now. It's all been completed, gathered, inspired, preserved, given to them. Why don't they pick it up? Are you kidding? Man, I mean, some Christians may show up to heaven, walk in the pearly gates, big smile on their face. Elijah just walk up and slap them. Just slap them right across the chest. What? You idiot. Do you know what you had that I never had? You know what you had access to and understanding, the ability to understand that we walked around and were kept in the dark about? And you wouldn't crack it open and read it every morning? You know, so, you know, I don't know if that's totally the way it's going to happen, but we probably deserve it. If it doesn't happen, it's not because we don't deserve it. Amen. Mercy. Amen. Mercy. So, here's what the verse says in verse 9. Watch this. By the way, this is not talking about heaven. You can't dive in the middle of a chapter that's talking about the Word of God and all of a sudden pull out one verse and I've heard preachers refer to this when they're preaching in heaven, and I've probably done it. But in the context of this chapter, it says, but as it is written, eye had not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And folks, we've got this book. And the church of Corinth is all tied up in all this stupidity. And they're chasing around all the wisdom of men. And they're getting about everything wrong. Because they won't take their stinking flesh and crucify it and get it back here where it belongs. And seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that fills them and leads them and teaches them. and opens to them up the Bible, and it's almost like Paul's going to spend an entire book saying, until we get this deck reshuffled, folks, it's not going to stop. I mean, you're going to spend your whole life as a Christian majoring on stupid. You just are. You're going to be caught up in so much nonsense, and you're going to run. You're going to be like a little hamster that's on a wheel running as fast as you can, going nowhere spiritually, because you just won't take care of something. You care more about that TV than you do this book. Okay, you spend more time on Facebook than you will opening the Word of God. Okay, I mean, that's where we're at. Come on. I'm not saying you're there. I'm saying as a whole, that's where American Christianity is at. We are concerned. We will run and you'll listen to 15 podcasts, but you won't read one chapter. Okay, stop chasing the wisdom of men. Okay, how about get into the wisdom of God? I promise you this. As much as I've studied this Bible, still I had not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared for him. Folks, listen, I'm never going to get to every room and open every door. I think we get the work. I think the person that feels like, and maybe they've put the work in, I'm not talking about they're prideful about it, but they may have spent their life doing the most extensive study in the Bible. I think we're going to go to heaven and realize we spent the whole life just scraping the surface and not ever really understanding. I think this book is not going to be left behind, folks. I mean, this book, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in. And I think that a good part of our time is for the first time being able to look at it and go, oh, how did we not see that? It's right there. I mean, can you imagine? And so it's available to us. But how is God going to reveal it to you and to me? Verse 10. But God hath revealed them, what? All these things that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither into the heart of man. But God hath revealed them unto us by how? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I'm going to stop because of time, but we're going to pick up there and go on down, because he continues to show us, folks, not just tell us, hey, one of the main reasons I sent the Holy Spirit of God to indwell you when you got saved is so that your relationship with this book can be a supernatural relationship, because I'm sending the person in that came down and picked up those holy men of old and moved them to write the words of God. I think he's well qualified to explain them to you. Okay, I'll end it with this. It's probably a bad illustration, but I mentioned this the other day, but I wrote The Stay in the Castle 20 years ago. I wrote a sequel to it just the last month or so, and it's people have been asking for 20 years about, okay, the prince, would you write a story from the prince's viewpoint, not the princess, but the prince's viewpoint. And when I wrote The Stay in the Castle, this is true in The Stay in the Castle, even more so in the book, is, and I like writing fiction. And, you know, I do. I like writing fiction. To me, that's fun. And so I get to write this imaginary story. But within the story, I don't know how else to say this, but the way I word certain things, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, when you read it, will pick up and understand certain things that are hidden in there. Because you've been under my ministry, and you'll go, I know what he's alluding to there. Oh, that's subtle, but he means this. That, oh, you know what? That's a type of this. And you're going to understand it better. Chad Gordon sat in my office, and he said, when I read that book, he said, because I've been under your ministry, I'm like, I know why he put that in there. I know why he said it like that. You know why? Because he knows me. You know why you're going to get more out of it than somebody that hasn't been in this church? Because y'all know me. And you're going to pick out things. You know why some people get more out of the Bible than somebody that doesn't? Because they know the author. They've spent time with the author. They listen to the author. They've sent to the teaching of the author. Okay? I think it was Rachel, and she said, yeah. She said, you hide Easter eggs in there. Now, I do not. You know. We hire these people from outside the church, you know. They have a certain set of gifts that are valuable to us, but then there's so many things we got to fix in there, you know, in them. So, but you know what? I almost said, you know what's hidden in here? There's no Easter eggs in here. But there's precious jewels. There's silver and gold. By the way, there's all the things you need to make your marriage sweet. But you're probably never going to pick up on them if you're reading the Bible and the flesh is in the driver's seat. We'll go down and see it next Wednesday. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Because those things are only discerned spiritually. That's what it says, because they are spiritually discerned. What does that mean? Because some things can only be discerned through your spirit. But if you've got this thing completely out of order, or God forbid you go to a church that's completely out of order, you know what's going to reign in that church? The flesh, carnality, confusion. I mean, I'm not sure that 90% of the churches in America shouldn't change their name to the Church of Corinth. What we've turned into does not even resemble what the Bible intended in our relationship to the Spirit of God and our relationship to the Word of God. Now, you can't change and control all that, but you can change you with God's help. And you know what? How that happens? You got to drop the, you know, you just mentioned the word carnal, and you can almost see some people, the defenses come up. You know, drop your defenses. Look at the order of your life. Come on. Keep a journal this week at the end of every day and write down what you spent the majority of your day honestly doing, and do it for 7 days, and then look at that and say, what's getting fed? You know, well, preacher, I just don't think like you. Well, there's some days I don't think like me, but it's because I'm out of whack. Come on. All right. I mean, we all got to work on us, okay? I really hope you're embracing this, all right? And I feel like you are, but man alive, if you've never lived a spiritual Christian life, it's amazing. It's exciting. It changes the way you view preaching. It changes what you get out of a message. It changes the relationships around you. It changes your devotion time. It changes your prayer time. It changes your soul winning time. It changes everything. And every single one of us can either become carnal or allow ourselves to become carnal, or we can live a spiritual Christian life. And there's nothing like it. And you know what? I've done it enough. I'm done. But I've done it enough and tasted enough of it that that's what I want. I'm not saying I'm always successful at it, but that's what I want. That's how I want to live my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the gift of the Spirit of God. Thank you for the gift of the preserved words of God. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for what's available to us. Lord, we have some things that the Old Testament saints, they didn't have. So much has been given to us, Lord, and to whom much is given, much shall be required. I pray, Lord, that we'll just, with your help, Lord, because we can't do this. I can't. Jerry Ross can't keep Jerry Ross straight. Lord, when I surrender to the leading of the Spirit, when I let him have his will and way in my life, he helps me to get things arranged. And so, Lord, with your help, please, because we need your help. Help us to do an examination, Lord, of ourselves and our lives and our priorities and our emphasis and what we're reading after and who we're reading after and what we're studying after and what's having the most influence on us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we just, you know, announce to the world, you no longer are going to have the primary influence in my life. I'm not going to get my wisdom from Facebook. I'm not going to get my wisdom from Instagram. I'm going to go to the Word of God. With the help of the Spirit of God, I want to become a spiritual Christian. Help us, Lord, as we discover new rooms and open new doors in the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name.